Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the University City Council meeting to order on February the 10th, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Parr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here, thank you very much. Before you have the agenda, during the study session, I believe the city manager asked for item number K4 to be moved to D1. That is a request from the city manager. Is there a motion to amend the agenda? Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to, after the agenda has been approved, to proclamations. We have before us a proclamation for Black History Month, and I will turn the floor over to City Manager Gregory Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this year is significant as it relates to Black history, particularly because it represents the 150th year of the ratification of the 15th Amendment, which provided Black males with the right to vote. So in that spirit, I would like to read in a proclamation that I would ask you to consider. Whereas Black History Month grew out of the establishment of Black History Week created by Carter G. Woodson in 1926 to highlight the contributions and accomplishments made to the history of our country that for years have been omitted, and whereas Black History Month, we highlight these contributions and accomplishments, which are more remarkable for having been won at the cost of great struggle and sacrifice by men and women who came to these shores and changed, and by their descendants. And whereas the African American community has endured decades of struggle to be recognized as equal among our fellow citizens, and whereas in 2020, national theme for Black History Month observance is African Americans and the vote, and whereas 2020 marks the 150th anniversary of the 15th Amendment ratified in 1870, which gave the right to Black men to vote following the Civil War. And whereas during the month of February, our nation takes pause to reflect on the injustices and struggles fought and overcome by African Americans throughout our nation's history and pay tribute to the battles they have fought in the name of equality. Now, therefore, in recognition of African Americans past and present, the Council of University City, Missouri, do hereby proclaim February 2020 as Black History Month and encourage all residents to celebrate our diverse heritage and culture and to continue to create a world that is more just, peaceful, and prosperous for all of us. That concludes the proclamation.
Thank you very much. The council will sign the proclamation at the conclusion of the evening. Thank you for bringing that matter forward to us, Mr. Rose. To the body, you have before you the minutes of the January 9th, 2020 joint study session with the Plan Commission. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to nominate Matt Bellows to the Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force.
Thank you. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Now we'll move forward. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to nominate for reappointment to the Parks Commission, James Wilkie.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. McMahon.
I would like to nominate for reappointment to the Parks Commission, Meg Ullman.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing ins, and I don't believe we have any requests to speak at this time. So we will move forward. There is no public hearing. We will go forward to the consent agenda. Mr. Rose, we have four items on the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and members of council, the first item up under K of the city manager's report asks council to hear a presentation on the FY 2019 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, or CAFR. And so I will turn the attention to our auditors.
Thank you very much. There's a button at the bottom. If you would push it on the mic, if you'd please.
How does that work?
And if you'd please give your, do you have room on the podium? You okay?
Almost. I'm missing one. Okay, thank you very much. My name is Mike Williams. I'm a partner at Hochschild Bloom & Company, a CPA firm. We've recently issued the audit reports for the city. It looks something like this in paper form. There's a larger booklet that actually is called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Sometimes I call that a CAFR or the audit report. And there's also a report on federal awards, which contains the single audit or like federal program audit, because the city receives enough money to have this special audit this year, which it doesn't always have. It didn't have one last year, but it does have this report this year. And the third item is a separate letter that is what we call the management letter. It's some general information about the audit with some comments and recommendations in it. But what I thought I'd do is just flip through this these reports. It won't take too long, but just kind of hit some of the highlights. And if you have any questions as we go along, it's fine, or questions at the end is fine, too. So anyway, just to get into it, the first section is the introductory section. There's a letter on the city of U-City's letterhead. That's the transmittal letter, which has some general information about the report, activities of the city, economic development, things like that. That goes through Roman numeral page 4, then our Roman numeral page 5 and 6 is an org chart and list of principal officials. But one of the things I wanted to mention was Roman numeral page 7, which is the certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting. So that's issued by the Nationwide Government Finance Officers Association, which reviews these reports for compliance with all the proper standards and additional standards it has. So anyway, I think that's just good for the city. Demonstrates things like accountability, transparency, things like that. So congratulations to the city on that. The next part is the financial section, and the first page of that is the Hochschild Bloom & Company opinion report. So it starts off with talks about what we've audited, which is the financial statements, management's responsibility, then the auditor's responsibility. And then on page 2, it has the opinion information. It says, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects. So it says other information on here, too. But there's no exceptions, no qualifications, no other problems like that. So that's what you call a clean opinion or unqualified opinion. It's similar to what the city's had before, but that's good. So I wanted to mention that. After that, then, page 4 begins the management's discussion and analysis. And there's a lot of detailed information in here related to what governmental accounting reports, how they're put together, the different funds, how they're presented. But I wanted to talk about the information on the bottom of page 6 and page 8. So, because page 6 and page 8 have a summary of all the funds blended together in total. So it's a big picture perspective on the city's finances. So anyway, on page 6, the bottom of the page, the top part shows total assets, and there's governmental activities, business-type activities in total, and then the 2019 change. So governmental activities are general fund, parks, capital funds, things like that. The business-type activities are solid waste and golf, parking garage, I think. So the governmental activities, the business-type activities, the total assets then for all the city assets are around $81,113,000 compared to $79,483,000 last year. So an increase of about $1.6 million, or about 2.1%. There's some deferred outflows and some deferred inflows, and then there's total liabilities. So again, just looking at total liabilities of around $23,446,000 versus $22,865,000 last year. That's an increase of $581,000, or about 2.5%. So assets increased more than liabilities increased, so therefore that's supposed to be show an improvement in the net position. So in the bottom part of the page, it shows net position. So this is presented in the accounting format that the net position is supposed to be the net financial position, the overall net financial position of the city. So you can see overall the total columns on the bottom line on the right side of the page show total net position around $57,005,000 this year versus $56,000 last year. So an increase of 1.3. So an overall improvement or an increase in the net financial position. That's about 2.4%. So that's similar to a balance sheet. That's the assets and liabilities. A couple pages after that, we have page 8, which is the revenues and expenses. So again, it has the governmental activities, the business type activities, and totals. The top part of the page shows total revenues. So total revenues for 2019 are around $37,499,000 compared to about $34.9 million last year. So that's an increase of about $2.5 million. And there's a change column, and if you look at that, the biggest item of change was the capital grants and contributions. So, and that's not unusual. Governments get a one-time grant for road and bridge projects, which is what you had this year. So that was the increase in the capital grants for the fiscal year 19 compared to 18. And then there's a list of expenses. So over in the middle of the page there, that middle part of the schedule shows total expenses in 2019. Around $36.1 million compared to $34.8 million the prior year, so an increase of $1.3 million or about 3.8%. And then it reconciles to overall net position at the bottom of the page. So anyway, I just like these two pages because that gives you an idea of the assets and the liabilities, all the revenues, and all the expenses. And then I wanted to get into a little bit more detail. So the fund statements begin on page 14, but what I was going to talk about starts on page 16. So page 16 is the governmental fund balance sheet. So I like this page because it has the general fund. It also has other major funds on here. These are the larger funds, the grant fund, public safety, park, and capital improvement. And it says other governmental funds, which are the smaller funds. And those are all listed in the back, but these are the larger funds. So then just looking at the general fund, since it's the main operating fund of the city, I like to review some of the numbers on it. It has total assets of around $21,122,000, liabilities around $2.2 million, some deferred inflows of about $1 million. So the difference between all those numbers is fund balance. So then it shows total general fund balance of around $17,875,000. So that's the total fund balance, but then fund balance is also broken down into various amounts, which are spendable, non-spendable, restricted, committed, assigned, things like that. So the unassigned fund balance is the most unrestricted part of that fund balance section. So this is the assets liabilities. This is the balance sheet. It's a snapshot as of June 30th, the year end of the city. And you see the imbalances for the other funds of the city also. Two pages after that, then, is the summary of the revenues and expenditures, then, for the governmental funds. And again, just to talk about the general fund, it's the main operating fund of the city, has total revenues around $23,246,000, total expenditures around $23,007,000, some other financing sources and uses. So overall, there was an increase in the fund balance of the city for the year of the general fund of $714,000. So. And you can see the other funds, the activity for those. So this is a financial activity over a time period versus a point in time. Let's see. Okay, so there's more information on all these funds further in the back, but the next page I was going to talk about is 20 and 21. So these are the the proprietary funds, the business type activities, parking garage, golf, and solid waste. The golf course was a new fund this year. It was established at the beginning of the fiscal year 2019. So that's a little bit of a difference between this year's report and prior year presentation. There's a cash flow statement on pages 22 and 23 for the enterprise funds. But the next thing I was going to point out is on pages 24 and 25, which is the pension fund. So now this is a total of all the two pension funds. The assets and the liabilities are on page 24. And then the increases and decreases, the additions and deductions are on page 25. And there's further information on those in the back, but this is the summary of the pension fund activity. After that, then, page 26 begins the notes to the financial statements. And note A starts with a summary of significant accounting policies. I wasn't going to talk about them because their accounting policies don't really change much from year to year. So note B then will start on page 36. And note B is important because it has a couple of things. One is the note B1 talks that there's a requirement that your cash in the banks should be fully secured by something like FDIC. So if there's an issue with the bank, you make sure that you get your money. There's a state law that requires your bank accounts to be fully secured. So this says, those last couple of paragraphs says that your bank balances are entirely secured or collateralized. So you're in compliance with that law. Page 37 then is note B2, which is the investment. So sometimes you want to know what your investments in the city are in. And this is a summary of those types of the investments. Page 37 has the maturities and a short description and credit rating risk. There are several more pages of investment disclosures that slice and dice those amounts in different ways. Page 40 then begins a capital asset disclosure. So this is a disclosure of the assets of the city. The capital assets are things like infrastructure and building and equipment, things like that. Page 43 then gets into the long-term debt, and I think this is important because this is like your mortgage. This is the long-term liabilities of the city that are required to be paid in the future. So there's a schedule of that on top of page 43. You can see that the significant balances there are some of the bonds, the special obligation bonds, the certificates of participation, leases, things like that. And then the maturity of those items are on the next couple of pages, the requirements to pay those in the future. Okay, so then the next note is note E, which begins on page 44. And then these are the pension plan notes. I did want to mention a few things on here. On page 47, the first pension plan disclosed on here is the non-uniform pension plan. So at the bottom of page 47, there's a section that's called that has the total pension liability. There's a column for planned fiduciary net position, which is the assets to pay that liability. And then the difference between those two is the net pension liability. So you can see that the net pension liability decreased some for the year from around $6,156,000 at the beginning of the year to around $6,057,000 at the end of the year. So I wanted to mention that schedule. And then there's a similar schedule like that for the police and firemen's plan on page 51. And it shows, still has columns for the total pension liability, planned fiduciary net position, and the net pension liability. So that amount increased from $9,197,000 to $10,090,000. So I think those are a couple of the schedules that are important in this disclosure and some of the larger numbers related to the pension plans. So that's the pension plan summary. After that, note F is post-employment benefit liabilities. So that's disclosed similar to the prior year. Note G starts on page 57. That's some interfund transfers, due froms, advances are listed on the bottom of page 58 and top of page 59. So those are bigger amounts due between the different funds. Page 59 has note H, risk management, which is the insurance disclosure of the city, the operating lease information. Page 60 is commitment to contingencies, restricted net position, negative fund balance, conduit debt, tax abatement information. And note O on page 61 is some of the restatements of fund balance from or from previous audits. So, and then note P is the future accounting pronouncements. So that's the financial statements and all the notes to the financial statements. After that is more detailed information. I was going to mention the first schedule on here starts on page 64. Because this has this is the general fund, so just to talk about the general fund again, the first page and top of page 65 have more detail on the different revenues of the city, the taxes, the intergovernmental revenues, licenses, things like that. So so I wanted to mention that. So this has more detail related to the amounts in the front of the report. And the bottom of page 65 gets into all the expenses, and this goes on for several pages through page 68. And the top of page 68 shows total expenditures for the general fund are under budget by about $422,000. So, but all the details listed on these reports. And you can, there's a lot more information here related to the other budget to actual schedules. There's the list of smaller funds and activity for those starts on page 79. And the statistical information looks like it begins on about page 87. So. That's really all I was going to mention related to that. That's the, again, the financial statements and the notes to the statements, some information related to the supplemental and statistical stuff. So the next thing I was going to mention was this report, and this is our called our report on federal awards. It has a couple of reports in it that I thought were important. One is a report on internal controls and compliance, the first letter, and it has to do with internal, if there are issues related to internal controls and compliance, significant deficiencies, those have to be disclosed, which there is further in the back of the report. And then on the second letter, it's called the Independent Auditor's Report on Compliance for each major program. And there were no findings related to any of the major federal programs that we audited. Page 6 of that report has a list of the federal programs that were subject to audit. And the largest ones of those are the U.S. Department of Transportation. They come through the Missouri Department of Transportation, but that's about the $1,188,000 for the various road and bridge projects, the largest one being the Kingsland Bridge. And we list the other federal programs on there. So the total federal programs was $1,232,000. So pretty good money coming into the city this year. After that, then, we do have the findings similar to last year about the number of adjustments. On page 9 talks about the we've got the finding related to the adjustments that we came up with for the year. So, and that's similar to the prior year. So that is our report on federal awards. The last item that I was going to review is what we call the management letter. There's some general information in the first few pages, a list of adjustments after that. And then the final part of this report are the 22 comments and recommendations that we have that came out of that. They're not significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. They're just other recommendations that we came up with related to our going through the audit process. So the first, few pages are, they do say as similar to prior year or as noted in the prior year. So I thought maybe I wouldn't read through all of those, but I was going to just mention the new items this year. So number 14 begins, there's just a few new items. Number 14 says that we recommend that the city reconcile some of the amounts for the solid waste fund, the receivables for that. Number 15 recommends some additional business license procedures. 16 has to do also with receipts for the community center to improve some of the procedures related to that. Number 17 is related to the capital asset inventory to improve that. Number 18 has to do with the calculation of capital assets when they're traded in for other assets. Number 19 has a review of certain liability accounts. Number 20 is related to tracking payroll. 21 talks about paying due to due froms back between one fund and another fund. And the last new item was number 22 related to reconciling bank accounts more timely. So anyway, that's really how I'm going to mention those new items. We reviewed the single audit of the city and then the comprehensive annual financial report. And I'll be happy to take any other questions you have or comments on any of those.
Questions from members of council? Hearing none. Thank you very much for your report.
Oh, yeah. I know it's a lot to go over. If you ever do have any questions, feel free to let us know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Do I turn this off? No. Oh, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, item K2 asks Council to receive an update on the Army Corps River to Pair study, as well as consider a funding request. And Public Works Director Sinan Aplasan will be presenting this item.
Good evening. We are through with the bureaucratic part of our work with the Army Corps, that is included the signing of the agreement, countersigning together with the Army Corps. So the agreement has been signed. That's the amended design agreement that outlines the work that is to be done under the flood risk reduction analyses of the U.S. Army Corps that they will do in our river, the Pier watershed in University City. And the kickoff meeting was initially planned for February. Now it's there has been some delay due to the back and forth signing, counter signing of the agreement. The current date has been set up as April 1st to kick the project off. Along with that, the Army Corps sent a request, funding request, for half of the funding required to complete this project. The project cost is estimated at $650,000. This funding request is for $325,000. It's proposed to fund this project using the park and stormwater sales tax fund, and in once submitted for reimbursement, MSD is committing to reimbursing University City for the full funding in 30 days from the receipt of request for reimbursement.
Thank you.
Thank you. So before us, we need a vote on this, I assume? Vote on this? Or, yeah. Can we have a motion to approve the funding request reimbursable by MSD by member of council? Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there additional questions? Mr. Cusick.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rose, I emailed you about this, and I'm still kind of confused about all of these things, these check boxes or these lines that are completed. This is just getting ready to do this study. This isn't actually that they've started this study, correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, that is correct. The study has not started. The funding request, if approved, would allow the Army Corps of Engineers to start the study, and I believe that they will have a kickoff meeting before they actually get started.
And how long will the study will it take them to do the study? Do we have any idea?
Mr. 2 months? 2 years? I was ambitious. I'm told that it will be about a 24-month period
months.
For it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, item K3, I wanted to provide you with just a very brief update on the Olive and I-170 or University Place project. The project is continuing to advance. The developer, Novus, is still in the process of land assemblage. That simply takes a very long time when you're dealing with 50 acres and under very difficult conditions. I would indicate that I have recently had an interview with a reporter from a local channel and advised that reporter that I'm not currently involved in the negotiations for the owner-occupied homes. So the negotiation between Novus and the homeowner is simply a willing buyer and a willing seller. As I understand it, they are still looking at what is a fair price for the various properties, but I have not been involved in that process. As I understand it, Novus has 67 homes to get up under contract, and they have about 41 of those homes, or 60% at this time. Finally, I would note that they are still advancing with their efforts to get the financing needed for the project. As I understand it, they're pretty close to reaching the various agreements that are needed. And I will take any questions that you might have.
Any questions? Hearing none, let's move forward to unfinished business. We have before us bill number 9399. May we have the second reading?
An ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after its passage and repealing ordinance number 7109.
We have the third reading.
An ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after its passage and repealing ordinance number 7109.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Ms. Carr.
Thank you. Mr. Rose, can you tell us specifically what this this ordinance is addressing?
Honorable Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem, the proposed ordinance would result in the City Council authorizing a loop coordinator position. And so the intention would be for that coordinator to perform the liaison role with the Loop Special Business District. It would also be responsible for the coordination of four special events that the council has indicated a desire to have in the loop. There are other responsibilities that would fall up under this position, but these are the key issues.
Can you elaborate on those other positions, please?
We should have a job description that was included. So in addition to the special events as well as the coordination, they would provide assistance to administrative assistance to the Loop Special Business District Board. They would help with the reconciling of their accounts on a monthly basis. They would ensure that the monies that are allocated to the Loop Special Business District are spent in a manner that is consistent with what budget is approved by the mayor and council. They would provide guidance to the city when we need to provide legal assistance, financial assistance, or others such as from the city clerk. So there are a number of jobs that person would perform. Those are the ones that come to mind.
Thank you very much. And would this person in any way essentially be running the loop, or is that this just a position that the city has created in order to provide the infrastructure to help the LSBD to meet the requirements of the ordinance?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, the intent of this position, if it's approved, is simply to provide assistance to the Loop Special Business District. It is not intended to take the place of the Loop Special Business District Board, but I don't believe at this time that they have the infrastructure that is needed to comply with the city codes, and that's why I'm recommending this position.
Okay, and one final question. Did the idea for this position come out of the Saturday mini session that we held, or was that position explored at an earlier date? And also under what auspices, meaning did council want it, or was it just something that came up?
Honorable Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem, the position initially was presented to the Loop Special Business District Board as a executive director for the University City section of the Loop. The board elected not to pursue an executive director for the University City section of the Loop. I still believe that a infrastructure needed in order for them to comply with the city codes, and so that's what why this position is being recommended.
Okay, I'm sure with all the questions I've asked, you overlooked this. And did this come up as a result of that Saturday mini retreat, or was this actually being worked on prior to that?
The initial position of the executive director, I believe, was first discussed during the retreat. It was known at the time that it would be a challenge for the Loop Special Business District to perform or to coordinate the four events that the council had identified during the time period. But I can't swear that I'm just going off of memory.
Okay, so on that Saturday, because this actually came out the next Monday, so on that Saturday, was this something that we put together, or was this something that was being considered at an earlier date because the council, and I'm leading you, because the council actually wanted to have an executive director for the LSBD?
I don't have specific in front of me the actual dates. What I can tell you is that the initial offer was to the Loop Special Business District during their meeting. We first presented the job description, which they approved, and afterward moved forward with the actual position, which they elected not to pursue. After that, it was, in my mind, evident that they would continue to struggle trying to comply with city codes, and in addition, trying to coordinate the four events that were, at least three of them were identified. The fourth was left open, events for the loop. And so that's, I don't know the specific timing. I have not, I don't have that information in front of me. I can tell you that was the sequence that that took place, though.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crowe. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify I don't know the exact timing either, but it's my recollection that the executive director position came prior to the Saturday retreat. That's correct, right?
I'm looking at, I believe that is correct. We could have taken the executive director position to the Loop Special Business District prior to the study session or the retreat, but I can't swear that. I just don't have that information in front of me.
Yeah, I think that was the sequence of events. I don't remember the dates, but I think that was the sequence.
Any further questions? Hearing none. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Kusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. We now have Bill number 9400. May have the second reading.
An ordinance providing for the reimbursement of city officials and employees for expenses incurred by them in operating their own vehicles in connection with their positions, and repealing ordinance number 6847.
May we have the third reading.
an ordinance providing for the reimbursement of city officials and employees for expenses incurred by them in operating their own vehicles in connection with their positions, and repealing ordinance number 6847.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rose, if we authorize this bill number 9400, and we have employees that are using their personal vehicles for while they're on the clock, what are our insurance liabilities? Specifically, what if they were working and driving their own vehicle and they were in an automobile accident? In the past, I thought it was my understanding that if you're working and driving your own vehicle, that your personal auto insurance may not cover you because you were actually working for a company driving your own vehicle. So could you address that issue, please?
The proposed bill does not change the liability, as I understand it, and I know city attorney can correct me if or the human resources director can if I'm in error. What it does is simply changes the amount of funding that we would provide for reimbursement of mileage. So it doesn't address the issue of liability. As I understand it, though, and John can comment, during the time period when you are driving your personal vehicle, if it's on for a company business, typically I am accustomed to that, to the city having some responsibility. Now, I can't swear that the city would be completely liable, but we would share some responsibility because they are engaged in a work-related activity. And what I mean by that is, let's assume that they had a major accident that occurred while they were on the clock. Then it is very likely that if their worst-case scenario, there was a death as a result of the accident, that the city would be involved in that case.
Any further questions? Hearing them, Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. We'll now move to new business. We have before us Resolution 2020-1, a resolution amending the comprehensive plan update of 2005 by revoking Resolution 2014-35 and removing the Parkview Gardens Neighborhood Sustainable Development Plan as a supplement. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. We have one request to speak from a citizen. Council members may also want to speak, but I'll have the citizen please come forward. Alita Klein. And again, please give your name and address and a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
My name is Alita Klein, and I live at 7021 Amherst Avenue. And I would just like to briefly address council and encourage you to pass this resolution and to pass this resolution and remove the Parkview Gardens Neighborhood Sustainable Plan Development Plan from the comprehensive plan. As the analysis has not been done to determine what the impact would be if we carry out this plan, and what the effect that would have on our economic or on our city's economic sustainability. So I'm just encouraging you to please pass this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Any member of council that would like to speak to 2020-1? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move to bill number 9401. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Smotherson, may we have the first reading?
An ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map, zoning by amending said map, so as to change the classification of property at 8400 Delmar Boulevard from General Commercial District to Planned Development Mixed Use District and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to the council reports and business. Are there any members of council that would like to report from any of their commissions or other items? Hearing none, we have no further citizen comments. Are there council comments prior to moving into closed session? Mr. Smotherson.
Well, I actually have two, and I wanted to take up, first of all, I wanted to talk about the one and get this out of the way, and that is I'd like to ask the city manager, and not necessarily to answer it at this time, but I want to find out and let everybody know the census 2020 is coming up in March. And the reason I wanted to address this is simply because I wanted to make sure that we understand how important that is for funding, federal funding for University City. But my question specifically to the city manager is what, how are we addressing the students that live in University City? I would actually say 8 to 9 months out of a year, because what's important for us is that we count bodies. And they're counted here, and I wanted to find out, not necessarily now, but at some given point in time, how we're addressing that. You know, you're talking about $1,500 per person that it's counted. So in a 10-year period, that's $15,000 a person. That's funding for University City, or we're eligible per person for 10 years. That's $15,000. So it's important for us to know how we're addressing that, how they're counted, because I think the main thing that about the census is it's really about where they eat and sleep, and that's here, not necessarily at home for 3 or 4 months, but here in University City. So I'd like to know how that's counted. Second thing that I'd like to say about that is that everybody that's here and everybody looking at this and watching this live stream, what's important to understand is the census is confidential. It is confidential. So it's not reported back to the city. It's not reported back to the state. And it's not reported back to immigration. So what that means is if you claim on an occupancy permit that you've got 3 people in the household when in fact you've got 10, it's important for this city to know that and you report that you have 10. It won't be reported back to anybody, but it's important for the city because that's 10 people we get, $1,500 each person, $15,000 for the next 10 years total. So, again, important for us to know. Now, second thing that I'd like to talk about, and I'm sorry that I'm speaking about all of this, but something came up in the public in the news, and that was, and this is about the trolley, but it was important to understand that the president, I guess, of the trolley was asking to have our city mayor and the St. Louis County executive to approve bi-state funding or taking over the trolley. So what popped into my head, and I just wanted to, and that was kind of interesting in when I saw that statement, I simply wanted to what I was trying to understand is what's the role of the mayor for University City? Now, I will say this, and I want to say this up front. I think that our mayor is a great representative of this city, but I think I want to really speak to this council about that because it's not something that we've discussed. So this is something that's coming up. So for this council, I want to understand what that role is, and because, again, if I'm correct, per the charter, our mayor isn't a power position, meaning that he's only one opinion or one vote of this council. So it's important to know for this council what that role is and how that plays into the decision that's made in reference to the trolley. I also think it's important because that was a public statement that the citizens here are aware of how we handle that, and making sure that we are representing the city in reference to that opinion. So again, that was my question to this council, and I'd really like to understand what everybody understands about that. Are we empowering the mayor with a vote, or is he simply in a liaison that actually then asks our opinion about that and then takes that back to the board? So that's the kind of discussion I wanted to kind of open up for this council, and just to kind of verify what role does he play on that board. Thank you.
Mr. Clay. Yes, thank you. And actually, I'm going to ask the indulgence of my colleagues. This is actually my commission report. I neglected to remember that I was absent last meeting, so did not report on the senior commission, so my memory was just jogged, so forgive me for that. Did want an update on the senior commission. To my colleague, Councilman Smotherson's comments about the census, obviously we want all citizens, including our seniors, counted. So our Golden Lions program will be having information about the census and an opportunity for those participants in the Golden Lions program to sign up for the census. But also at the community center, they are offering support to help complete the census forms. So that is available as well. May is Older Adults Month, and because we have had celebrations of Older Adults Month in the past, it is likely this year that celebration will not actually take place in May due to many things taking place in the world of parks and recreation during that period, most notably the opening of the pool. And so there may be some capacity issues with actually executing an event of high quality, which we all want for our community and our seniors in particular, in May. So there is conversation about that celebration actually taking place in September for University City. So I'll be providing more information, and other information will be available, I'm sure, for a variety of venues about that. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. McMahon.
Just briefly, Mayor, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to point just something out, three topics that were on tonight's agenda that may seem unrelated, but I was just going to try to tie them together a little bit. One, the flood risk reduction with the Army Corps of Engineers, to the Parkview Gardens plan, and lastly, the discussion we had about the Loop Special Business District and having a part-time person there, basically a Loop Special Business District oversight issue. And as we're nearing April, I just wanted to note that those three things on that agenda are issues that Councilperson Paulette Carr really worked on quite a bit. The Parkview Gardens plan, I remember back in 2014, before I was on council, having discussions with Ms. Carr about that and the possible impacts to our city. So as we near April, it's kind of you see these things coming to fruition, and it's great to see them coming to fruition, but at the same time, we all have to be aware we're going to have to step up, because there's going to be a little bit of a absence for those kind of issues that were brought to bear by Councilman Carr. So it just struck me that those three things all were on one agenda tonight. So that's all I have. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other comments before we move into closed session? I would like for my colleagues to know, and in particular the city manager and Ms. Carr, that I will be out of town on February 24th. And so hopefully the Mayor Pro Tem will be here to run the meeting, but I will be out of town. I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021 for legal actions and personnel. Excuse me. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll to go into closed session.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much for coming.